Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Attorney General William Barr recently sat down with CBS News legal analyst Jan Crawford and provided some insights on his thoughts as to why he believes the Trump administration was spied upon. He's also asked in that CBS interview, which aired on CBS This Morning, about using the term spying.
You've testified that you believe spying occurred.
Yes.
Into the Trump campaign.
Yes.
You've gotten some criticism for using that word.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's become a dirty word somehow. It hasn't never been for me. I think there's nothing wrong with spying. The question is always whether it's authorized by law.
Some former intelligence chiefs have said the president has made that word somewhat pejorative, that they're spying, that this is a witch hunt, this is a hoax. And so your use of that word makes it seem that you're being a loyalist.
You know, it's part of the craziness of the modern day that if a president uses a word, then all of a sudden it becomes off bounds. It's a perfectly good English word. I'll continue to use it.
As far as for evidence, Barr says,
like many other people who are familiar with intelligence activities, I had a lot of questions about what was going on, and I assumed that I'd get answers when I went in, and I have not gotten answers that are at all satisfactory, and in fact have probably more questions, and that some of the facts that I've learned don't hang together with the official explanations of what happened.
What do you mean by that?
That's all I really will say. Things are just not jiving.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Smith, one of the sports guys, and I'm sure that John and Bill will be joining me shortly. At least I certainly hope so. So in the meantime, let me talk to you a little bit about the weather. And beautiful day outside today, really beautiful. I know, I'm not sure Bill will be here. He may have snuck down to the shore to go on his boat. On the other hand, John promised. So let's time him. So what can we look for this weekend? Of course, tomorrow is the June 1st. Hard to believe that we're a week past Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody had a good time. Today, weather was beautiful, although they said it was about 79 degrees. It could have been warmer. It seemed to me that it was warmer. And it was sunny, a few clouds, but really a beautiful day. And we were hoping that it would continue for the weekend. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. Tonight should be mostly clear, then some patchy fog, so be careful out there. Actually, when they say patchy fog, they say after 5 a.m., so otherwise it's mostly clear, not very windy, pretty calm tonight, which is nice after some of this rain and wind. But by tomorrow, there's some patchy fog in the morning. Otherwise, it should be sunny with a high near 83. So tomorrow, actually, I didn't think so earlier, but tomorrow should be a nice day. You know, before 9 o'clock, if you have to run into fog, so what? But tomorrow is the nice day of the weekend. By tomorrow night, there is a chance of scattered showers and then thunderstorms before 9 p.m., and then probably showers and possibly a thunderstorm or two between 9 and 3 a.m. Again, then back to a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, light south wind, so that shouldn't be a problem. You know, it's just one of those nights where the rainfall is not going to amount to anything unless you happen to get hit with a thunderstorm. However, on Sunday, there's the chance of showers, and then showers are likely, and even possibly a thunderstorm after 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy on Sunday, high near 79 degrees, so not fun. Again, on Sunday night, showers likely. By Monday, first of all, there's a slight chance of showers. However, then it's going to be sunny, and so Monday and Tuesday should really be very nice. High of about 69 on Monday, going up to the low 70s on Tuesday. So these are, you know, much better than the weekend, unless you like high. Well, I don't know if the humidity is going to be that high, but could be tomorrow, because a high of about 83 degrees. I know lots of people are heading down to the shore, and I don't have the shore forecast, and of course it's very different, but it should be a nice day down at the shore unless they're having some weather that's very different than our weather. Don't know anybody who really had a problem with the tornado warnings last week, but as someone who grew up in the Midwest, believe me, I'm not that concerned if there's a tornado watch. But if you hear that there is, in fact, a tornado warning, and there was a warning, Lambertville and Stockton, you really need to stay away from windows, need to stay, if possible, in a basement. You know, all you have to do is actually be involved in a tornado sometime to understand that a warning is very serious. And they tend to call. They often have the fire sirens going. But believe me, no one wants to be in a tornado. And they're really crazy, because they can come down and literally pick one house or one building up, and something right next door is not a problem. So that's the weather. We're going to be back with the sports guys. Just want to play a few commercials, and then hopefully John and Bill will be here before I come back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Actually, Randy and his wife Jane are great. If you've never been in their store, it's in that old bank. And I always go in and don't understand why he doesn't give out samples. So hopefully other people will go in, and maybe if everyone said, hey, why not give out some samples of gold, he'll start doing it. But he's very generous in the community, and is a good guy. So anyway, shout out and thanks for Randy for being one of our sponsors.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hey, we're back, and it's the sports guys. And we have two sports guys now. Bill just walked in, and I thought he might have been playing hooky to go down to the shore to get his boat out.
Well, the boat's in the water, although I haven't seen it in the water yet. The repair that I couldn't make is made. So I'm going down by myself tomorrow. My faithful crew member is not able to join me because it's house cleaning day or yard work day or it's not rainy day. So I'm going down tomorrow by myself.
Let me know one thing, Bill. It seems to me that people are either, you know, boaters or golfers or do you find many boat people who are also diehard golfers?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Have you ever met one?
I don't know. I think if you golf, you are a bunch of less glutton for punishment as if you are a boater. But I should tell you the story about why I don't golf.
Well, if it's clean for a sports, a clean sports program, you know, why don't you golf? Well, since we're waiting for John to get to any serious sports, and since football is just not a big topic on the horizon right now for most people, what's your? I will indulge you.
Well, it's not a joke. It's a true story. It's actually happened. I was younger, because probably 28, and my boss sent me to the Mercer County Bar Association golf outing.
Wait a minute. You didn't represent the plaintiffs if they had an accident. You represented the insurance company. Come on. Yeah, they didn't care. It was their insurance company.
About the third try,
Oh, you're kidding me. So he didn't forget. But wait a minute, I thought you said there was a monkey in this story. In Nevis or in France?
No, in Nevis.
Okay.
These were guys who made serious money in France. They were all maybe inherited, but nonetheless, they were all in their 60s, and I at the time was about 34 or 35. They didn't really play golf, and I'm clearly the worst golfer. But you get to the tenth hole on the three place in the course, cold jungle, and tropically. They're kind of putting up with me. They're being polite, nice. And their English was great. I don't speak a word of French. Although I did learn a few, people make bad golf shots in France. They say words that we have Anglo-Saxon versions of. So, these children at the end of the 11th hole, and they're standing by a tree. And I see it. And it lands on the green about 10 feet from the green. And one of the children comes right across the green, and I realize that it's a monkey. Grabs my ball and goes up another tree.
Phil, only you.
Ask if I'm the guy who's monthly looking for the dollar. So, you know, it's amazing how news travels fast on a small island with a song called Coconut Telegraph. I think that's what it is. So that's why I don't play golf, Pat.
Well, I have to tell you, Bill, I don't think I've ever heard that story. And it's so incredible that you could not have made it up.
I wish I had made it up.
Now, what would have happened in a tournament when something like that happened? I mean, in a professional tournament. I thought you were going to tell me one of the kids ran over and took the ball.
Well, it turned out that on this island there are monkeys called vervet monkeys. And they're looking at the teeth. And you realize why you want to stay away from them.
And why you're not going to steal your ball back from the monkey.
You're not getting that ball back.
And there was, he didn't have a little sign on the side of the jungle saying, golf balls for sale?
No, I don't think monkeys deal in cash. I do know that they deal in
bananas.
Fruits and bananas and things like that. There were bananas growing on the island. But the interesting thing about golf is someone went through a book called A Good Walk Spoiled.
Oh, are you telling me that Dave didn't make that up? Because according to my husband, golf spoils a good walk. I thought that was his saying. So you're telling me there was actually a book?
There's a book called A Good Walk Spoiled. And it's written by somebody who wrote golf stories. No, I've never read it.
Now, this Dave says, no, he's never played golf because playing golf would spoil a good walk.
Yes,
that's his idea of golf.
Well, remember, golf courses are beautiful. They're made to be beautiful. They're great places to go and have a nice dinner, most of them. They are probably as pleasant a place as you can be. It's not near a lot of water. But it's just not like that.
Well, but some of them, of course, are near water, like Pebble Beach, and, you know, there are some, or have some good water traps. But, no, it's very interesting because, I thought golf was boring when I was young, although now I wish I would have taken it up.
It's a fascinating sport because it requires so much concentration and self-discipline, and you're always playing against yourself to get better, as you are with a lot of other sports. To compare golf with sailing, you're always trying to get better, but you're with golf, you're always adjusting to the course, and the wind, and the condition of the grass, and the weather, and you feel that day with sailing, you're adjusting to the elements of nature as well, and it can be a whole lot more drastic. With this, what just happened off the Jersey coast?
What happened?
Well, a couple sailed around the world, and they were on their way to New York to complete a 2 or 3 year circumnavigation.
Really?
And in the bad weather that we had earlier this week, they sailed with a capsized off the Jersey shore. The Coast Guard had to send a helicopter out to pump them out of the water. And they got a couple, a man and a woman, and they were within 100 miles of completing a 24,000 mile journey from what I read. And if you go on to either YouTube or you go to NJ.com, the story is there, and you can press a button and you can see the video of them actually being picked up by this helicopter and this sailboat that's been turned upside down or sideways with a mast in the water. And these folks are being picked up. Now, I think in the Coast Guard, the way the Coast Guard does this is interesting. They have swimmers. And these guys jump out of helicopters and swim to the...
Aren't they divers?
They are divers also. But they're trained to be both swimmers and divers. But the divers can actually get under the water, and they've got the breathing apparatus, the scuba. These are guys who jump out of the water and they've got...
Jump out of the helicopter into the water.
Jump into the water from a helicopter, pardon me. They've got swim fins, wetsuits, masks, and radios that are communicating with the helicopter. And usually they've got a cable that they're carrying with them, or dragging with them from the helicopter. And they swim over to you. And the helicopter. And the helicopter comes down and grabs the next, the guy helps grab the next person to keep the third guy out. I think these are the bravest guys in the world because they would jump out of the helicopter into a raging state in the middle of a hurricane to rescue somebody. And my admiration for Coast Guard is unbounded.
These guys must be trained in the way that they train Navy SEALs. I mean, I think some of the best trained people are, of course, the Navy SEALs, who are also just amazing if you can get through that training. But what probably was amazing that they even found these people in this kind of a storm, because you're right, it has really been horrendous.
Is called like GPSs on their clothing, which gave away their positions. So these are transponders. That's why electronics can be a wonderful
devices
thing.
Devices that give away position. Are we talking matrimonial war here?
No.
I mean, I just walk into my sports show. My partners are talking about surreptitious activity, locating people through, GPS devices. Pat, this sounds like a ploy for a matrimonial defense client that I've ever seen one.
Yeah, well, this wasn't stalking, and we were just talking about rescues at sea. So maybe you're here to rescue us.
This weekend, the Coast Guard did some heroic work rescuing two people from a capsized sailboat. They were in the water. The Coast Guard swimmers and their helicopter went and got them. Now, it just shows you people who have circumnavigated the world are very experienced sailboaters. They've dealt with all kinds of conditions. But yet off the Jersey Shore, in the weather that we've experienced this week, including some tornadoes up in the northern part of the state, you never have enough experience and enough skill to deal with these kinds of natural.
And, Bill, here you go. Another knock on Jersey. Now even our waterways and weather is hazardous to sailors and circumnavigating the globe. My God. Sounds like Magellan has arrived here, you know?
Well, Magellan did very well, but going around the globe and managed to get back to Portugal. But unlike Captain Cook, one of my heroes,
Captain Cook on a paradise island in
and
the
got
Southeast
murdered.
Pacific.
And got murdered by Hawaiians.
But it was paradise until the point he got murdered.
Hey, anybody interested in football?
Well, it's Yankees Red Sox this weekend.
Oh,
Pat.
I heard.
You were rained out and John pumped.
I'm sorry. Well, pumped. I'm 8 games behind in the loss column to the evil empire. Oh, I heard this whole expose this morning. Why the Red Sox are now the evil empire, okay? Oh. And the Yankees are a sort of subordinate evil empire now. People calling in to the major radio shows talking about, well, this is the weekend that the Yankees finally put the evil empire out of their misery. And the host said, well, what are you talking about? The Red Sox are in town. He goes, yeah, they're the evil empire. 4 championships in the last 13 years, they have out-Yankeed the Yankees, which isn't really true because the whole rap on the evil empire with the Yankees, Bill, was attributable, goes all the way back to 1974-75 when Sir George paid a whole bunch of money to get Catfish Hunter and then Reggie Jackson, basically used the Oakland A's as a farm team, carried that all the way in with Winfield and all of the free A, all the way up to A-Rod, and that was the genesis for it, whereas the 2004 Red Sox had no big free agents. The 2007 Red Sox had Mike Lowell at third base, who wound up being the MVP of the World Series when they swept Colorado, was a minor free agent. And even in 2013, the one argument you do have is the 2018 World Champion Red Sox paid a lot of money to sign J.D. Martinez, but it was dwarfed by the Stanton contract that the Yankees gave, and they refused to sign Mookie Betts, probably the best player in baseball are certainly one of the top three or four. Two are gargantuan contracts. So I don't think that's a fair rap, Bill.
Is there medication for that?
Folks, impressive. It means he has no reply.
The enthusiast.
That is a fall on my sword comment. Listen, if I've ever heard one.
This is, you know, what I can't believe.
By the way, I've got extra heavy caffeine in this coffee here.
I knew there was a reason.
You know, what I can't believe is how John isn't a Packer fan. Every time he talks.
You said I wasn't a Packer fan.
Well, you just always remind me of the diehard Packer fan. So
what I always love, our group. What I always love about John is how passionate he is about his teams.
And well, I'm glad you said team. Okay, you clarified that.
Plural.
Teams. This is a family show here.
Right.
That was a good move.
Teams. He's passionate about his work. He's passionate about his family.
Yeah, we
most
can
importantly,
stop
he's
with
passionate
teams.
About
yeah,
his team.
Yeah, we've got to stop right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, passionate about his team.
Somebody
teams.
Listening and, might get offended
and
by that.
I am also passionate about my teams, but unfortunately, but for the Yankees, most of my teams come from Philadelphia. So I have to put up with a lot of abuse from John. Even when I am generous enough to take him to a Phillies game, John is a magnet for Philadelphia fans.
Oh,
and always manages
wait a
to pick a fight.
Anybody
now,
is a magnet.
To those two young ladies who sat in front of us and who were very abusive. Bye, Chris. Yeah,
look,
and
Bill anybody.
Was probably accurate about
yeah,
that.
But wait, anybody.
But it was fun.
I'm telling you, the Mother Magdalene or the Virgin Mary could go to Philadelphia and be
booed.
Or something worse. I mean, I'm telling
run
you,
out of town
the
on a red.
Philly
snowballs
fans
to the Virgin Mary
are unbelievable. Well, they only do that to Santa Claus.
This is true.
That and they were being nice.
Yeah,
they only threw snowballs.
Yeah, yeah.
They
good
didn't
thing
throw
it's not
stones.
Green Bay, Bill, or it would have been ice balls. But go ahead.
Well, remember something. This is the city that invented Scrapple, so you have to have some sympathy for us and our fans. Remember, the Philadelphia Phillies have lost more baseball games than
any
other
major league team. They've over 10,000. They're the only
franchise
to lose 10,000
ball games. Remember, the Phillies have been in business in one form or another since about 1893.
Close, Bill. I'm not sure the exact date, but that sounds good.
So they've had a lot of chances.
Although I do dispute the phrase in business. That you need to qualify a little bit, but far be it for me to nitpick.
Have you ever seen a baseball team hit into two triple plays in one game?
Yeah, you know, I think they hold the record,
said,
right?
It's been said that if the Harlem Globetrotters played baseball, they would have the Phillies as their opponent because they're the proverbial Washington
Actually,
Generals.
Actually, did you ever see, you know, growing up in the Midwest, when the Harlem Globetrotters came, that was unbelievable.
Magnet.
But
I've
these guys
them.
Were really good players.
Oh, they really were.
Absolutely.
I mean, they were a joke, but
players.
No joke. I mean, I was just blown away with their skills.
I had the pleasure as a child of seeing them play a number of times, both in Madison Square Garden and in a couple of other arenas. And also, they actually played a benefit over in Princeton in Jadwin Gym one year. And I remember being taken to that as a 10-year-old. And it was always really fun because what they did with a basketball was magic.
Oh, it was.
And always to that wonderful song, Sweet Georgia Brown, where somebody would whistle over the PA system. They really were very exciting
to
watch.
A nice piece of Americana, Bill.
It was. I don't know if they're still in business.
And, you know, what I meant by that, guys, is, you know, I wonder. But you remember as a child, because I saw them, too, at the Boston Garden. My dad took my brother and I. And how thrilled you were as a child to see the Harlem Globetrotters. What do you think the reaction would be today from a 10 or 12-year-old? It's almost sad because I'm not sure they would.
Perhaps they'd rather play their video game.
They're so bombarded all the time you know, as I recall, maybe my memory's failing, I think that they played in this little gym in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. That's my memory of where I saw them.
No kidding.
A little bitty town.
How did you get there?
Well, I lived 6 miles away. My father took me, obviously.
Well, but, no, but I mean, yeah. I didn't realize that was close to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't
realize. No, I mean, it was just, but can you imagine? I can't imagine what they must have thought.
Yeah, to them, they showed up at the arena and they looked at the crowd and laughed. Look at these people.
But, you know, there's nothing quite like the Harlem Globetrotters. They would do amazing things with the ball. And they had a team that they would always play. I think they're called the Washington Stars or something.
Generals. We just made an analog with the Phillies and the Generals. No, go ahead.
And they were also good players, but they knew how to play be the comedy patsies or straight guys to the Globetrotters. And there was a Globetrotter, I think his name was Meadowlark Lemon. And he was...
He's about 70 years old, and he could still move the ball faster than anybody else.
And he must have been about 7.5 feet tall. And I remember watching them play. I was in a Cub Scout troop, so I must have been a little kid, like 8 or 9.
What, are you looking up on your cell phone to think when your birthday was?
No, I have to look at my birthday, right. No, I have my brilliant paralegal is filing something that must be filed before Sunday.
And I thought you were going to say before sundown.
Sunday. And we are dedicated to weekends when weather gets warm around here. Yeah. So we do things before we...
Last weekend was nice at the Jersey Shore. Next weekend will be very nice. I'll be in Boston with Allison at Fenway Park on Saturday. Dinners with cousins could be wonderful. This weekend, I'm going to be in Clinton in the office. So let's not talk about this weekend.
I was last weekend and this weekend.
What I can tell you is I was very disappointed.
So, by the way, I will not be here for the show because at this time next Friday I will be at Logan Airport getting picked up by my daughter at 5:30. So okay. I will not be here. But I will be able to report in 2 weeks about my Fenway experience.
And we'll look forward to who are the Red Sox playing 2 weekends from now?
The Tampa Bay Rays, who by that time may be in first place.
That could be.
Oh, that should be a good game.
It should be a very good game, although the way the Red Sox are playing, I was happy for the rainout last night. Red Sox didn't blow a lead.
Well, let me ask you.
They lead the league in blown saves.
But remember something. It's an exciting American League East this year because the Red Sox aren't really out of it.
Yeah, not really. And Tampa's good. And of course, the Yankees have come back. So you have a three-way race.
Right.
And the issue is, I mean, everybody's looking at, okay, the division winner and the two wild card teams coming out of the AL East. But you've got Cleveland in the Central, and then you've got Houston. I still think that's what it will be. We'll have all three teams in the playoffs.
Which should make for an exciting September race because, remember, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Tampa play each other a whole bunch of times in September.
And
you have the Orioles and you have Toronto mixed in there, but...
Toronto can be a spoiler.
Yeah, and remember, you know, you're talking about the Phillies. The Phillies are in first place right now, and they are playing right after the All-Star break. They have 26 games in 30 days, all with National League East Conference rivals. So I think the Phillies are going to they're not going to run the table.
Oh, that'll make or break them.
But I could see a 20-6. For those 26 games in that month. And, you know, it's exciting.
I have a bridge you might be interested in as well.
Well, I realize that, but
the eternal optimism of the Philadelphia fan ceases to amaze.
Well, remember something. There's a saying, every dog has its day, and we can woof with the best of them.
Well, you have, absolutely.
Sure.
Well, one of the problems that I have is, Packers are playing all of the... They're playing the Philadelphia. They're playing the NFC East.
And they better hope to go 2-2.
Unfortunately.
That's going to be a tough division this year.
You know, one of the things would be they're playing Philadelphia in Green Bay. Problem is, when I take a grandchild to the game, my team loses. So
Have family members who are jinxes.
They are
Dallas and Philadelphia fans, right?
Yep.
Yep. Well, that'll teach you to have
Pat,
a family.
These were the adopted grandchildren,
You would think. No, I have a daughter who went to school in Dallas, which is the reason
big
for
mistake.
That one.
Oh, big mistake.
It was.
I've been in Dallas. Nice
how
people,
in the
but
world,
I hate their teams.
How in the world we allowed her to go to Dallas is beyond me. And then, of course, Tommy's dad is an Eagles fan, and so
there's no accounting for taste.
And we bought footballs. We bought clothes. You would have thought we have a little more influence on our grandchildren, but it didn't happen.
Well, you know, I think they root for those teams just to spite you.
Well, actually, our daughter who's a Dallas fan. One of her sons is an Eagles fan. If you ever watched them, I mentioned this before, you wouldn't know who's the mom and who's the son. But the point is, they're trying to talk me into going to the Packer-Dallas game this year. Which actually would be, I think, a lot of fun.
That might be an interesting game. You have two flawed teams that are probably rebuilding and are trying to feel their way to get back into the big time. And you're going to see each of them expose the other's problems very quickly.
Well, let's hope not. But, you know, we spent most of last weekend watching things about Bart Starr, watching the 57 Packers, and there were some really nice tributes to Bart Starr and anybody who knew him. He's been in very poor health for the last few years, but he truly was the leader. He actually played for the Packers for 16 seasons.
Wow!
Which, you know. I mean, he played when I was a kid, but I wouldn't have thought it was 16 seasons. And, of course, then he was a coach, was not a good coach. But he was actually, I think he was 17th round. But he was such a gentleman, so well-respected, and, really made a difference. And certainly every once in a while you see him throwing a ball. I never thought he was a great quarterback, but I think he was better than I thought,
mm-hmm.
and everybody around the league had great things to say about him. So he'll be missed because he continued to come back to Green Bay, and when I looked at some of the programs, and you saw some of the players talking about him, and then I remember them, of course, as young players, and now when they were talking about Bart Starr, I don't know what happened. These guys all got old. I didn't, but they did. So anyway, John, what else is happening in sports?
Yeah.
Well, the NHL has a respectable final with the Bruins and the Blues.
Very interesting matchup, I think.
Well, there's a couple of interesting things. The Bruins had gone many years without winning a Stanley Cup.
And St. Louis has never won a cup.
Bill always steals my thunder. But that really wasn't where I was going. In 1970, the finals were St. Louis and Boston. And if you remember, in 67, the NHL expanded and put six teams in the Western Division. Or perhaps it was a conference at that point. But I still think they used... Yeah, it was the NHL. They probably said division rather than conference. Anyway, and St. Louis had the dubious honor of being the sacrificial lamb in the finals for the Montreal Canadiens for a couple of years and then the Bruins. I think they went something like three straight playoff appearances in the finals without winning a game. They were swept by Montreal in 68, 69, and the Bruins in 70. But the key point of that series is the famous goal scored by Robert Gordon Bobby Orr
to win
the Cup in overtime in Game 4 in Boston. And the trivia question, Bill, is, if everybody remembers, it was the picture that commemorates the goal is Orr in midair, literally horizontal.
The ice.
As he scored the goal, he got tripped. Who was the Blues defenseman
who tripped him?
Who tripped Bobby Orr?
Ugh.
And if you get this, Bill, I'd buy dinner tonight.
Fedorenko.
No. It was Pat. Care to offer?
I'm going to claim early senility on that one because I can picture the guy, but I can't.
It was Noel Picard.
Oh,
really?
Who tripped Orr as he cut into the slot and wristed the puck in, and he got tripped and wound up in midair, and that was the goal that clinched the series, won the cup for Boston. I think the last time the Bruins had won, I know it was before 1950. I think it was like 42, 45. And it hadn't been as long as 86 years for the Red Sox, but it had been at least 25, or I still seem to think it was maybe even in the 30s. They had gone up until 1970, from like the 30s or the 40s to 1970. And, of course, if you ask anybody in Boston, it's a very bitter time because the Canadians had a rigged system.
Right.
And what was the rig, Bill?
The whole deal was if you had a French last name, they
French
got you.
French-Canadian descent, who had first crack at that player?
The Montreal Canadiens. If you were Quebecois, everybody
that?
Wanted
Nobody
to play
knows, because that's the way they rigged it. So your Jacques Lemaire, your LaPerriere, your Rocket Richard, all of these great players could have and should have been drafted and spread around the league. Instead, you had the Canadiens winning virtually every year.
That's right. Remember, both Boston and New York were always on the bottom.
Always on the bottom, and Detroit for a long time, too. The Red Wings, before winning in 96, had gone a humongous number of years before winning a cup.
Yeah, and when they went, then remember, they swept the Flyers that year, to my chagrin.
Yes.
The difficulty was that if you were Quebecois and you were a young man and you liked hockey, you wanted to play for the Canadiens. And a story that I heard, and I don't know if it's
because of the usherettes, no doubt.
That, no doubt.
Because remember where the penalty box was in the old forum. Literally, a player would get a penalty and would be seated on the steps in the stands. And you'd have the you think the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Check out the Montreal usherettes of the 60s and 70s with the white fur. And they would be there with these players and making sure they were taken care of while they had their 2 minutes in the penalty box, to the point where the Canadians were up by so many anyway. By the third period, they were competing as to who would take a penalty to go sit with the usherettes. I mean, because the Canadians had the game won. So nobody is more happy when I see the Montreal Canadiens get beat, and beat as much as possible.
But you know what, guys? Let's also remember, they had a great system in Canada where the kids, anybody who was good would
At 3 years old, they were drafted.
Practically.
Pat may know the answer to this trivia question.
Oh, please.
How old was Bobby Hull when he was signed by the Chicago Blackhawks?
Oh,
I think he was 17.
He's a very famous trivia question, I'll give you a hint.
He was
My
old.
Favorite number... My birthday, my daughter Allison's birthday, my daughter Elizabeth's birthday.
I don't remember.
You should know this. I'll give you another hint. It was one of Jesus' favorite numbers, too, because it's an answer to a trivia question. Why did Jesus choose 12 apostles? And the answer? Cheaper by the dozen. And that's really just an old joke. But having given you those hints, how old do you think Bobby Hull was when he was signed by the...
Was he about 44?
When he was signed by the Blackhawks,
he was
12 years old.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
you're
can't
kidding.
Believe it. How can he legally sign the contract? His parents
His parents signed the contract as parent and natural guardians.
But
of course,
he didn't play.
In Canada and nobody obeyed any laws anyway. But they signed him when he was 12.
Wait a minute.
But
Canadians are very law-abiding until they get on the ice.
But the amazing thing is they had team. Any kid who was good went to the next town, lived with a family, went to school, and played Quebec, hockey all the time.
Wasn't that where the Quebec Major Junior League was formed, Bill?
Exactly. The Quebec Major Junior League actually has been around in one form or another since the 30s.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, and
yeah,
the only time they interrupted play was World War II because so many of them got drafted.
And you know what's interesting? Yeah, they served, much like Ted Williams and so forth. You think of great American players serving. You think of Ted Williams. I'm sure there were others.
Yeah.
But Williams was, I mean, when you think of that today, that'd be like saying there's some conflict breaking out in the Middle East. Take Mike Trout or Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge and go put them in an airplane and go fly over Korea. And fly mission. That's what Ted Williams did in World War II.
Well, and that's why women's baseball. But that's also why women's baseball became
correct.
So popular.
Yes.
But the funny thing, when you were talking about this, and you guys have great memories on trivia, you know what my grandson would have done? He would have had it on his phone, and he would have been able to tell you all of this stuff in like 10 seconds.
And you know what, Pat? How much better to be able to recall this information, if you will, as trivia as it may be, because you love the sport and you like doing that as opposed to Googling it.
Well, I think some of these kids... Now, I have to say, though, it's so much easier to learn. I mean, I have...
Yeah, that's when
grandson,
the technology works. It doesn't work. It never works.
But my
until
grandson,
you pay a tech guy that works, and as soon as he goes away, it doesn't work again.
But my grandson, I mean, the younger one, I can't believe how much he knows. I mean, number one, he's very interested because Tommy knew a lot.
Take his cell phone away and see how much he knows.
Actually, you know, to be perfectly honest, he does.
Well, he's a rare kid.
No, he's really... you know, I can't trip him up, but every once in a while, if it's really esoteric, he'll just pick out his phone and do it.
I'm doing a bill here, okay. Holding up five.
Well,
things.
I'm going to then put
run
it on
an ad, we'll
hold.
Come back and we'll wrap up.
Well, let's do that
and
right
Pat
now. Hit the money button.
The information.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey guys, we're back on to...
Pat, what is the latest on the OTAs, the Packers draft?
Real quick, we're going to be knocked off the air when we go to Rewind, Pat, so lay it on us.
Well, I frankly don't know. I mean, I really...
I mean, does Aaron finally have some receivers he can throw to? Does he have a running back he can hand off? And does he have an offensive line who's going to block for him?
You know what?
And what are they going to do for a middle linebacker now that the long blonde hair is gone?
Clay is gone. And Clay was getting a little slower, but I think...
He was still very good. I'd take him on the Giants. Still, in my opinion, one of the top five linebackers.
You know, I'm holding my breath.
Do you think the Packers will win 10 games?
Well, if they don't, this coach will be a one- or two-year coach.
Right.
But I think that I will know, they play Chicago, Minneapolis, and Denver.
You'll know by September 15th.
We will know. If they're not at worst
1-2 in those three games, they got to get one of those three games, if not two.
Yeah, and
see, I think Chicago had a great year last year. They won't win 12 games this year.
Chicago will
win 10.
I think
now they'll find a way to lose.
I think they'll find a way.
They won some games. They might not. They'll find a way to lose some of those. I think if the Packers win 10 games and can beat the Bears. Certainly, at least in Green Bay, they have a shot at that division. The Vikings, I think Kirk Cousins is going to come back with a vengeance after way underperforming and blowing the last game and not making the playoffs. He's got to come back or they'll run him out in the rail.
I think you're underestimating the Bears. I think with Mac, if he's healthy, and Treblinski. I mean, this was a very impressive young quarterback.
Yeah. No, you're right.
He really was. And...
It used to be the NFC East. The NFC Central could be the elite division this year.
That wouldn't surprise me because I will tell you that having seen Khalil Mack play against the Eagles, I have seen Khalil Mack play against Green Bay, and I have seen him play against the Giants, and he is a monster.
He really is. I mean,
He was worth two number one picks. Raiders got fair value for him.
I thought so.
Yeah. I wish he could have gone to the Packers. Is all I can say. I think the Packers.
Crazy money.
Well, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.